UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You're listening to the V Show podcast. Listen to Bob Valvano weekdays noon to 3 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com. Listening to the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Thanks for joining us on this Monday on the V Show.
Am I on? I'm not on.
It's not your fault. We never use the right mics here.
Actually, I'm on. This is not mic. This is mic two, right?
All right, we got it straight.
Glad you're with us here on this Monday. We have been talking about this story, which I guess semi broke earlier today. Chris Ott from WDRB. Sent it out, and I guess just before noon today, and he's kind enough to carve a few minutes out for us right now. Chris, thanks for joining us. It's certainly, by the way, I want to say this up front, because it's got nothing to do, it's not some sort of a value statement on your reporting by any stretch. I hope you know that, but I have to tell you the truth. Every time we have more news that comes out on this story, I feel like I understand it less than before the news started. And this is one of those times. I mean, I'm just trying to go through my head logical conversational English. Does it make any sense that David Grissom would say, oh, yeah, Jim Ramsey told me it was another trustee who was giving the money to the strippers. The first question that would be out of your mouth would be, really, who was it? And then you would say, if he didn't give you a name, wouldn't that be the first thing you'd say when he ever told me who it was? According to your reporting, he had to be asked three times for that. So that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Dr. Ramsey's lawyer didn't come out and say there's no way that, you know, this story, that it was a trustee. What he said was he didn't get that story from us. That was not a particularly, you know, forceful kind of denial. So does that mean there's meat on the bone there? I don't know what to make of all this. You're closer to it than I. What do you make of all of it?
Well, a few things. Number one, it was a forceful denial from Dr. Ramsey's attorney, Steve Pence. He absolutely denies that Ramsey ever said anything as Grissom described him saying. So there's definitely a clear conflict there between their stories. You know, and yes, you know, I thought it was relevant. You know, when I first looked at the testimony here, it seemed as though Grissom was communicating that he knew who it was, he just wasn't willing to say. Then there was kind of an interjection where, you know, if you listen to depositions, what often happens is, particularly in contentious ones, the attorneys on one side and the other will often get into crosstalk and argument across the table about who is objecting to what and which question was improper and you know, don't instruct the witness. And so there was a back and forth there. And then it came back to Grissom, and Oldfather, the attorney for Kathleen Smith, asked him again. And he said, well, James Ramsey never actually told me who he was talking about, and I didn't ask him.
Does that make any sense to you?
I'm just reporting what David Grissom said under oath on videotape in a deposition. So, I mean, I think we need to keep in mind that he's swearing to this under penalty of perjury.
It doesn't follow conversational English. And I mean, it would be like saying, I just saw the guy who killed the guy who runs the dry cleaner across the street. I wouldn't say who was it? Would you see? I mean, who was it? Well, he didn't tell me and I didn't ask. That doesn't make an ounce of sense to me.
So all 13 minutes of relevant deposition interview are posted on our website from this. So anybody can go and listen for themselves. Certainly, after Grissom says that, actually, Jim Ramsey never told me who it was, and I didn't ask. Kathleen Smith's counsel, who was doing the examination, it has the same exasperated reaction that you just conveyed.
See, I should have been a lawyer.
She said you could have avoided, I think she used the word, if I'm recalling correctly, I could have avoided this whole charade if you had just said that earlier. So there you go. I mean, I think she, you know, had the same reaction that you're having, you know, the same sort of obvious reaction of, because that is obviously the very next question, who you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. To Chris Sotts from WDRB, you can find everything he's alluding to at their website, WDRB.com. If you want to take a shortcut to the article itself, you can find him on Twitter, and then it's posted there as well. This is the line I was alluding to, though, and again, I must confess, I just read it. I have not watched the video. I read it right before I came on the air, and I haven't had time to carve out the 13 minutes to read it. But when Pence, which you said he told you that he vehemently denied that Ramsey said it, I get that. But his statement was, I can give you 100% assurance that the information about the board member did not come from Dr. Ramsey. But that doesn't really say that he didn't get that information from somewhere else, though, or that information is not kind of thought to be out there.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, I think, I mean, Pence was saying, if David Grissom has this information, he must not have gotten it from my client, because I can tell you my client didn't say that. You know, that's what Pence is saying. Did he phrase it that way to, you know, perhaps like offer an explanation as to why David Grissom might be confused instead of just lying? I will say this is not exactly in the words of my story, but I asked Pence, I said, well, what do you think is going on here? I mean, David Grissom was under oath. Do you think he's just making this up? And he said he made it up.
Wow. Well, that's a pretty straightforward answer. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Ramsey denies that this conversation took place. That is unequivocal.
Where is he, by the way? Where is Ramsey right now? Do you know?
I don't know.
He's on the land. No, I'm just kidding. He's moved somewhere. I wouldn't even joke about that. Chris Sotts is with us from WDRB. Let me ask you a couple of other things that I'm not sure there's any kind of insight. It would just be your opinion to some degree. Do you think they're trying to walk a fine line here? And here's what I mean. A texter sent this to me, and I hadn't thought about it before, actually. If let's just say, for the sake of argument, it was a board member. They have credible information that it was a board member that was funding the sex scandal stuff. Wouldn't that damage their case against Rick Pitino? I mean, if Rick Pitino came in and said, wait a minute, you're undermining what I'm doing. I had no idea that your board member was doing this. You do this, get us on probation, then you fire me. Wouldn't that bolster his case against the university?
Yeah, better question for a lawyer. I really don't know what ramifications it would have. I think the key question here, which the attorneys on the other side of this financial lawsuit, which is how this testimony came out, they jumped right on Grissom and said, you know, hey, you can't allege that Dr. Ramsey failed to report this very material information when you're sitting here telling us that you, in fact, also failed to report this very material information. They, you know, Ramsey's attorney said, didn't you have a duty under NCAA rules to disclose to somebody, compliance, you know, somebody, what you had heard from Ramsey? And Grissom acknowledged that in the deposition, and he acknowledged that he didn't do so. He finally ended by saying, I'm not perfect. So that seemed to be an acknowledgement that perhaps he should have shared this, but he tried to put the blame more squarely on Ramsey, saying that Ramsey had more of a duty to report this, having the firsthand knowledge of, you know, which trustee it was, and that Ramsey did not do so.
See, I think as a Louisville fan, that would be more troubling. If the guy says, and you're, I'm reading directly from your piece, and you're directly quoting his testimony, about the obligation to share the information, he said, I get that. I did not have any information other than what Ramsey told me. It's hearsay. I don't know who the person was. And then he says, as you said at the end, well, I didn't report it. I'm not perfect. If you're the NCAA, and the guy on the Board of Trustees who's supposed to be helping clean up a mess there has information about what would be, you know, maybe the most egregious of the violations, and he doesn't do anything about it. I, if I'm a Louisville fan, that would make me as nervous as anything that's happened so far.
I think this testimony raises a lot of questions. U of L had its own investigation. Chuck Smart, like, why was the information not shared with him? Why was it not shared with their own campus police, which, you know, who did the investigation of what exactly went on in Minority Hall from a law enforcement perspective. Ramsey's attorney also represented in the deposition that there was an investigation by the Commonwealth's attorney, prosecutor's office in Louisville, as to, I think, whether underage girls were part of this. So there were lots of investigations into this matter. And it really begs the question, well, why wasn't that information shared? And that's certainly how the attorneys for Ramsey and the other defendants in the lawsuit attacked this story to try to undermine the credibility of it.
So, Chris, where are they in the process here? What was this in the legal process of this? This is the leading up to the trial? This was just a deposition? What's going on exactly?
It was, yeah, it's a deposition, and so the purpose of it is to take sworn testimony that potentially could be played for a jury in a trial. We are a long way from that. And to be clear, the case that I was looking at has literally nothing to do with the whole stripper NCAA Minority Hall scandal at all. It is about the university's endowment, and the allegation is that Dr. Ramsey and his a handful of his direct reports and associates depleted the university's endowment with overspending, irresponsible spending. But none of that had anything to do with those allegations over on the athletics side. The way this came out was that the attorneys on the other side of the case, as they try to do when you bring claims, they mm-hmm. want to know more specifics. Tell me everything about. And so it was a very simple question. Tell me every single instance that you know of where you claim Dr. Ramsey is secretive, didn't give his board of trustees the full information that they needed to make their own decisions. So I want to know every single instance in which he did not give them the information that they wanted to know. And this was the first example that Grissom, you know, volunteered. It's not part of their allegations in the lawsuit. It's not part of their complaint. It completely came out of left field. And frankly, you look at the deposition video, you can see the attorney who is minding Grissom and helping him and making sure that he doesn't answer questions that he's not required to answer. He says in there, hey, I don't know about any of this stripper stuff. I don't have the history of that. I'm not prepared to deal with this issue. So certainly it seems as though Grissom went off script in his answer.
It's okay, so again, I don't know if you have any right way to be able to shed some light on it, but so what are we looking at as a timeline? Where are we going from here? I mean, they haven't reached a settlement in either of the cases. Patino's against the university against Ramsey. Everybody always says settlement is more on the table the closer you get to court. Are we close enough where that could be in play? What's going on with that?
So I've really only personally reported on the Ramsey financial fraud lawsuit, and I can tell you that from what I understand, that is nowhere near settling. They have asked for a September 2020 trial date in that case. I've been told that discovery, which is the evidence gathering process where they take depositions such as the one I'm writing about today, that that will go on for another year probably before the case could get to a point where it might get to trial. It also, you know, could be dismissed after all the evidence gathering and arguments by the defendants in the case. It is a complex case with, you know, five different parties or so. U of L's already had one big setback in it, and they have to not only determine, you know, did something happen here where people were at fault, but who specifically was at fault and how much, you know, was involved. So it's a very complex, a lot of expert witnesses involved. So that thing is a slog, and it's going to continue to be.
It's not going silently into that good night, or whatever the old saying is it? It's here to just keep.
You know, I don't think so. I mean, there's maybe a few things that could change that might bring it to a more abrupt conclusion. But from what I understand from my sources, there's not really an end in sight in that lawsuit, that they're just going to slog through the discovery process for another year.
Yay.
And Grissom is not done with depositions, by the way, from what I understand. I think they're going to try to continue and take more of his testimony at a later date.
Boy, this is just a barrel of laughs. But, Chris, we appreciate the fine work, and thanks for taking some minutes out for us. I'm sure we'll call you and we try and stay on top of the story going forward. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I mean, he's, you know, he talks on what he reports. He doesn't get into the Patino thing. He doesn't get into speculating, you know, things he says only a lawyer could, you know, shed some light on. He does a very good job of that. So it's just, I think we'd all just like it to go away. I have to be careful how I say this, because nobody died. You know, cancer's cancer. But the one thing I'm always struck about what makes cancer so debilitating is every time you try and bargain with it, it won't let you. It gets worse. You say, all right, well, I understand I can't do this, but I can still do these things. Okay, and I'll focus on that. And then the next day, you can't do one of those things. And it just keeps beating you and beating you. That's, figuratively speaking, why these stories like this are like a cancer. We just keep saying, all right, we lost the banners, we lost that, okay, they cleaned house, all right, this thing's, you know, behind us now. Nope, just keeps going, just keeps on going. Now there's possibly board members involved. That's astounding to me. So, well, all we can do is follow it, see where it goes, and report on it, and keep you on top of what's happening. We'll see that people are asking me questions like Chris I don't know the answer to. You know, could the NCAA go back and revisit this? They thought they already punished Louisville for what went on there. But I think the NCAA can do whatever the hell they want, basically. So if they think that this is some sort of symbolic of a lack of institutional control at a level they were not, you know, they didn't ascertain before, I'm sure they can go back and they can do whatever the heck they want, basically. That's what it comes down to. So I don't know. We'll see going forward. But it is certainly not the kind of story I thought would have this kind of life for this long. It just keeps going and going. Absolutely amazing. Again, you can find Chris's stuff on Twitter if you don't want to go to DR. Not that, you know, you wouldn't want to go to DRB's website, but it's sometimes easier to just find it on Twitter. He's got a link to the story right there. And he is at, I think he's just at, nope, that's not him. Which is his Twitter handle? I've got the wrong Chris Hotz here. No, nope, that's not him either. So we've got to find him. Nick, what's his Twitter handle? I want to give the guy his due here.
Give me 1 second. I'll pull up the right one. Sorry, I just had to recharge my phone. My phone died.
Oh, I just had it. I just had it, and I lost like a dumb money. Rats.
But he did say the entire deposition was.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. People might want to go to the DRB website and find it there. So, let's see if I can find. There it is. Okay.
Here we go. I got it. At Chris Topher Otz. That's it.
Christopher.
At Christopher Otz. Yeah, I'm saying it funny. At Christopher Otz.
Well, that's because there's a million other Chris Otz on there. So he was relegated to
at Christopher Otz, all lowercase. WDRB.
There he is, Christopher Otz, DRB reporter covering business, economy, New Orleans, Louisiana native, Bama grad. How about that?
Who's he root for, you think?
Alabama. You have to. Or they come find you where you are and they kill you.
But he's a NOAA native, so he might be Go Tigers.
LSU or an LSU guy? Nah. He went to Alabama. He roots for Alabama. That's yeah, trust me. I feel good about that.
I'm not sure. I think he's a Go Tigers.
I don't think so. And you know why I feel pretty confident about that? Because if you look behind him in the picture, he's got an Alabama elephant. Did you not notice that?
Oh, I see it now. Roll Tide. Yep.
Yeah. Oops. So my guess is that should have been a little tip-off to you today. You know what I'm saying?
Does he like red beans and rice?
Oh, I like red beans and rice.
Who doesn't like red beans and rice?
All right. So let's see. What have we done? We told you about Universal Windows Direct. We told you about Genesis Diamonds. I know what I didn't tell you about? Vitality, wellness, and weight loss. Because
that's a good one.
You have been now in the lock stage, right?
Yep.
I don't mean like Lachlan McLean. I mean lock it up.
Right.
So not like a political rally we're yelling at you. Lock them up.
No. It just locks in your body.
Yeah. So you're locking in your weight loss. And it's a great program. And I'm about to, Nick, because he didn't have to lose as much weight as I did, only went through one round. I don't know what that, what do they refer to it as? Cycles? How do they call it? No, it's not a phase. It's a 20-day something. 20-day cycle?
Cycle, 20 maybe? Day.
I think I can find the term right here. I want to use the proper terminology.
I need to find my stage. It's a stage.
No, it's not a stage either. This is. Why don't you guess at home so at least you can feel...
I thought it was a phase. I don't have my notebook. My notebook's in the back.
No, I don't think it's phase. Let's see if I can find it. Here it is. Oh, you know what it is? Round.
Ah.
Just text new round whenever you want to try a new round. So there you go. So Nick only had to go through one round. Now he's in a lockdown. I'm going through more than one. So I did the first round. And then they are probably a little cranky, but I wanted to see. I want to do my own little test. Did it really impact my habits the way they say it did? And it has. And I'm very proud. I've lost 28 pounds on this plan. Nick lost. What'd you lose?
About 22.
Very nice. Yeah, you didn't have to lose as much as I did. You look great. You're feeling good. And I'm going to start a second round because I may have to do three rounds. I don't care because, to be honest with you, I think it's fantastic. It's re-educated me about how to eat. The supplements they give me, which are tailored just for me, I have different ones than Nick does because the tests, our bodies have different chemical makeups and the things that we need. And so it's been just a great program. They tailor it towards you. It is all diet plans can work. These are the reason this is better is because it is one that you understand what you're doing. You have more ability to bend it and shape it to your own particular lifestyle. It absolutely, even without you knowing it, is helping you form habits that are going to last you the rest of your life. When you have some of these other ones with these packaged foods and stuff, you're not going to eat these little, you can eat pizza and lasagna. Sure you can. Pizza, the size of a dime. Lasagna, size of a quarter. There you go. Hey, what a diet this is. I'm eating everything. You might as well get rid of your plates, eat with a thimble. So that's not how this works. You can get plenty of good, delicious, nutritious, healthy, tasty food, and you're not hungry because the nutrients, the supplements they're giving you are letting your body. That's why sometimes you eat, and people who are overweight know this. You eat and eat and eat, and you say to yourself, I swear I'm still hungry. Well, that's because you may be eating, but you're not eating the things that are giving your body what it really needs. So it's sending you a message, hey, still need some stuff. And so you say, okay, well, I'll have another donut. But that's not getting it done because that's not what it's looking for. The supplements here show you what your body is craving for and let you take care of it and go forward. So check them out. Vitality, Wellness and Weight Loss, they've got a couple of locations, one right off Bardstown Road, one over in Southern Indiana in the Tuckers Restaurant Shopping Center over there.
Yep.
It's New Albany, right?
We got an appointment with our boy Sterling.
Nick idolizes Monday, Sterling. He has a poster of Sterling.
Monday at 4. That's weird.
No, you do, though. Nope. He's like your new hero now. Like when you're a little kid, your daddy's your hero. Then it was like hockey players. It was so.
Debatable.
Oh, man, why are you doing that?
Because wouldn't you rather me just love you like a son loves a father?
That's what I meant.
Oh.
Well, what the heck did you think?
I had like posters of people on the wall. That's weird, man.
That's what kids do. I don't think
that gives someone a complex. I don't love Sterling.
No, you
I think very fondly of him.
You know, he's
a good dude.
He's your hero. Now, him, you do have posters of on the wall.
Told you not to tell anybody about that.
Yeah, that's very cool. Wellness, that's the Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. You'll want to check them out. And we'll take a short break. We got a special in-studio guest going to join us in just a bit. My good friend Robbie Spear, who is doing a terrific job with his group. And we'll tell you a little bit about not only what he's doing with his group, but what he is going to partner with us to try and make an even greater impact with an initiative we're doing a week from this Friday. So we'll talk about that, and we'll do that on the other side. Are you going to Croatia now, Nick?
Maybe.
Oh, that'd be tasty. I went to the Belize trip. I want to go again. It's
Who's
good.
The Croatian?
Croatian, the crustacean, the Croatian crustacean is my friend Rich Savozic.
Oh, yeah. Yes. He's got a great forehead. Was that?
I just wanted to find something that rhymes with Croatian.
What was the?
Just
he's
a so good
he's
rhyme.
Croatian, but
yes.
Why is
when
he
I found out he was Croatian, I wanted to give him a nickname. It was the only thing I could think of that rhymed with it. Can you come up with something better?
Croatian persuasion.
Sensation.
Croatian sensation.
I like crustacean. It's better.
It makes it sound like he's crabby, or he's got like a venereal disease.
Oh, that's got nothing. Do crustaceans have venereal disease?
No, just crabs. Really?
That's a big.
I had to describe that to you. You just
I understood
wanted me to say it,
but it
air.
Was just ridiculous.
Wow, you did what I do to you.
By the way, where's your nice expensive headset that I bought you?
I lent it to somebody.
Yeah, and it's gone.
It's in the studio somewhere. It's not lost.
Yeah,
it
what
is
you do
misplaced.
If somebody gives you a nice gift, you just let it lay around.
I'm
know?
Like the rainbow fish. Oh, sure. I like to share. I share my shiny
sure.
rainbow
sure, we do.
Scales with all my friends.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. It's ESPN 680 1057.
While you're at the Kentucky State Fair, make sure to stop by the Fish and Wildlife booth. You'll see live animals every day, and you can spin their wheel for a chance to win a prize. Fish and Wildlife will even let you complete the free range portion of the hunter education course at the indoor air rifle range when you pre-register on their website. So visit the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife booth at the Main Street area of the South Wing of the Expo Center at the Kentucky State Fair from August 15th through the 25th.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
So, not hearing myself. Am I on? Am I on this thing on? So the Reds have claimed Freddie Galvis from the Toronto Blue Jays. For some reason, they put him on waivers, even though he was batting .267 with 18 home runs and 54 RBIs. By waiving him, the Jays will give more playing time to rookies Bo Bichette and Kevon Biggio. Those are the sons of the former major leaguers, Dante Bichette and Craig Biggio. Galvis had signed a $4 million one-year deal with the Blue Jays in January, so the Reds got themselves a pretty good player. So that's interesting, even though the deadline has passed. There's day baseball going on. The Yankees are continuing to do what they have been doing mercilessly to the Orioles all year. They've already set the record for more home runs against the Orioles than any team in a single season in history. They had 52 earlier, and they've hit at least a couple today. So they're winning 6-2 in the first game of a doubleheader. And doing it with guys wearing numbers like 72, 79, 68. It's like watching spring training baseball because the Yankees have so many guys on the injured list, but they just keep trotting players out there and winning games. So it's very impressive. So there you go. That's the day baseball update for you. I think that's the only day game today. 6-2, bottom of the fifth. Yankees in front in game one of the doubleheader. Our friend Robbie Spears here with us in the studio. And his organization is called Sports Reach, and we invited him to come by and talk a little bit about some of the things they're doing, because there are some things that you might want to get involved with, the listeners, including one thing coming up a week from Friday. But let's talk a little about your group. Robbie, it's good to see you again. Thanks for being here, and congratulations for all the things you're doing. The website, by the way, is sportsreach.org, right? That's you.
Correct.
There you
yes,
go.
It is.
Okay. So what's going on? What's going on with you guys?
Well, as we speak, we've got a basketball team in Ukraine right now.
Nice.
And they won today, so they're 1-1-1 Yes, they had a tie. They decided it was a friendly game. So
that's
no sense playing overtime.
All right,
so,
fair enough.
Yeah, they're 1-1-1. So it's a pretty neat trip right now. They've been having a great time. So anyway, just finished up a couple trips. We took a middle school, high school girls volleyball team to Belize. And then Campbell's University took their athletic staff to Belize.
Wow.
So
but the whole staff, huh?
Yeah. So it took
Belize is fun. We had, I mean, oh, that's man. Not why you go, just for fun. Although, right. To your credit, you always tell the people, listen, we're doing important work, but it doesn't mean you can't enjoy the trip as
absolutely.
Well.
And, absolutely.
We really do. That was great fun. And you got some endorsements from some of the people who've come with you on these trips, including New York Knicks Alfred Payton, who yeah. went on your China trip, I guess,
yes.
right?
Yes, he went to China with us. Garrett Temple, who's with Brooklyn. Also went to China, Cameron Payne, who's with Toronto now, and then Victor Oladipo, who's with the Pacers, also wow. all went to China with us.
Yeah, the Chinese trip was the good one. We went to Belize, and you were a little nervous because the last game, they've never lost a game in Belize, and we were behind the game I was coaching. It was like the only game I coached because I got there late, but we managed to come back and win the game.
Got so. The win. Yes, you had me a little nervous there, Bob. I'm thinking, you know, we've never lost, and here we let Bob coach, and good grief.
Well, I was trying six guys at a time, seven guys. Yeah, I wasn't, you know, I'd been off the sidelines for a while.
It was
a
but rusty. It was fun.
It great was great. They've got good people there.
Yes.
All right, so now one of the other initiatives. So, by the way, people, if you go to the website, you'll see you have you've done things with softball, with baseball, with volleyball, with basketball, of course. You go not domestically, you go to some of the prisons and play against some of those.
Oh, yes, we do a lot there. Of stuff in the prison. We also did a sewing mission trip.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we've done a lot of different things. And we do a lot of prison stuff down to Florida and some of the states around here in Tennessee and Georgia, Indiana, here in Kentucky as well, do basketball and softball.
And you've been running your own camp, I see, basketball and cheer camp. This is the third year you did
that? Yes, we did that up at Owsley County. Absolutely love going up there. People in Boonville are just special people, and they've come to just be people that I've grown to love. I didn't want to go. I fought against going up there the first time God told me to do it, but, you know, it went awesome. And so it was a great time.
Well,
we love it, yes.
One of the other initiatives, talking to Robbie Spear, who's the founder and director of Sports Reach, the website sportsreach.org. We met because he was coaching a team at that time was called the Crusaders.
Yes.
And before the NCAA allowed, back then they had a lot of restrictions on who you could play as preseason games. And so you had to play either AAU teams, and like Phillips 66, and they cost you a lot of money, I hate to say it, or you could try and find some local teams. And Robbie's team was not cheap. Inexpensive,
yes. Yes.
And
we're
was
cheap.
Nearby, yeah. And you was the other things. You got good players, which
yes,
the other thing
did.
You didn't just want to have a team come
yes,
in and
did.
You
that's
could
fine.
Steamroll. So the game was competitive and it was good, and you guys were great with our guys, which I think was important also. I didn't want the players to feel like we were going to have somebody in who was going to beat them over the head, but you did a really good job talking to them, and I appreciated it. We struck up a friendship, and we've been in touch since. And you were nice enough to include me on a trip to Belize a couple of years ago, and I hope we get a chance to do that again. But you also have a thing, and then the website explains this, Kicks for Kids. These are kids that are around the world playing sports, and I will admit that you see this firsthand, the sharing shoes around the world. We went to Belize, we played, I don't know, I guess you played a game before I got there, and then we played three other games, and two of them were like outdoor courts and really kind of
right.
less than, lucrative areas. The last game was in a nice setup, and now you can play in a nicer one, I understand
right.
they built
right.
the gym.
Yeah,
but
nice.
I'll never forget, it was a big deal. You come to town, you're playing against this team from the United States, so they got a whole bunch of kids that want to play, and they ran some guy out there in the second half, and he actually was a decent player playing barefoot, not in street shoes, barefoot. And nobody batted an eye. I was dumbfounded at that. And, I mean, I don't know, maybe you saw the story. Did you see the story the other day that the Kenyan, it was Kenyan, I think, women's lacrosse team played against the Israeli lacrosse team. They played them, I don't know, let's make the days up. Let's say it was Friday night. Saturday, the Israeli team, I guess they won, so they advanced. And the Kenyan team went to see them again because they played against them. So after the game on Saturday, the Israeli team gave the Kenyan team all cleats. None of their players had had cleats.
That's awesome.
They played the night before in just sneakers, so they gave them cleats.
Yes, that happened to us the very first trip. And I'm back up. Larry Percival is a co-founder with us. Larry lives here in Louisville, former Kentucky great. Larry and I took a team to Kenya, and that was the same kind of deal. That was back. Converse gave us tennis shoes to wear. They gave us those weapons, those heavy shoes. But we were thankful to have them. Went over, and we were playing the guys that were trying out for the national team. And they had a lot of guys that didn't have shoes that would fit. And we'd see some guy wearing some small shoe, you know, or big shoe. And they're like, well, what are you doing? So, well, you know, my feet are too big, and so, you know, I have to just get in what I can, or they're too small, so I have to wear a pair of socks, make them fit. And so when it was done, we gave them the weapons. And it was just – and they had – what was funny is they were saying, but we've got tennis shoes coming. And while we were there, literally they sent tennis shoes.
Shoes like the Stan Smith models.
Yes, and you're like, oh, no. So we were just thrilled and, you know, to be able to give those. And they were just great. They were just great people. We just loved it. And so
– so what we're going to do – you've done this before, I guess. Tell some people about some of the past amounts of shoes you've sent.
Yes, we've we started – oh, gosh, it's been many years ago, and I'll tell you, Terry Howard is one that came up with the initial idea of collecting shoes and giving them away, and then we just kind of ran with his idea. And so Stan Curry's been my right-hand man, you know, of course others, you know, Andrew Hammond, some of those, Zach Arrington. But anyway, so we've collected shoes from a lot of different places. We started out doing Super Bowl Sunday. And
clever.
And sending shoes to just different spots. We'd send them about seven or eight different countries. And we've sent, oh, I'd say probably close to 10,000 pairs of
wow.
shoes, you know,
that's
all
great.
Over. And so we've made a lot of trips driving to Miami and shipping them to Belize.
So you got to
like
drive
that.
Them to Miami, and then you ship them by boat to where they're going?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's now we've got some, you know, we've got a Prasco folks up there, and since they've been great, they're going to start shipping some things for us.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, we've loaded up many a time. And then I just throw them in the back of the fill the car up with as many shoes as we can get, drive to Miami, hit it, drop them
you
off.
You are the original
go.
Road warrior, because when basketball season comes, you are never in one place more than 2 days, it seems. I go do games for ESPN, and there you are. I see you there, and then I'll come back here, and I'll see you here. And so, so I guess it's nothing for you to drive to Miami. But what we're going to do, we're going to join up with your group. A week from this Friday, Mike Pratt and I will do our Friday show, which we refer to, of course, as Fast Break Friday. And you're invited to come sit in with us that day. And we're going to ask people to bring shoes. Now, when I say that, what kind of shoes are we looking to get from these folks?
What we're really trying to do is we've always done just any kind of shoes for air raids, but we wanted to focus on athletic shoes. And so we're wanting basketball shoes, softball,
soccer,
baseball, soccer, I mean, tennis shoes, too, just shoes that any kind of sport. And because there's just so many of those kids that want to play.
Right.
And they just don't have shoes. And so, we want to help them with that. And, of course, now we're not going to turn down, hey, if you bring flip-flops, we'll take them. You know, but we just ask one thing. Can you clean the mud off of them? I mean, you know, because we've got to ship them on over, and that makes it a little bit lighter and a little bit cheaper. So,
and if you bring new ones, that's always welcome, too. But if you got one
new and gently used, yes.
Yeah, if they gently used, your kid has grown out of them now, and you hear parents say all the time, he's just worn them for like 2 months, and he's already grown out of them. Well, bring them to us, and we'll put them in Robbie's hands, and they'll put them in the hands of the people around the world that can put them to use. So we'll be doing that a week from Friday. And we're just going to have people come by. Well, we're going to sit there for the whole 3 hours, and Rob, you'll be there. And
absolutely.
We'll hopefully get some shoes. What trips do you have coming up? I know you said you got some right now in Croatia.
We're in Ukraine right now.
Ukraine.
And in October, we're going to Croatia.
Croatia, that's right.
Doing slow pitch softball.
Oh, nice.
And so we're going over doing that, and we're trying to find a couple of girls to go with us. They want us to bring some girls to do co-ed. They're trying to get that started. And so they're kind of getting started with us. We're going to play and help teach and practice. And just spend time sharing with them. We're going to get to work taking some teachers with us. We're going to go into school there. We're going to teach them how to play kickball.
Oh, nice.
And then just spend time with them.
The National Kickball – what's the name of the group, Nick? They're going to yell at me because they listen to the show. It's the National Kickball Foundation or Federation or whatever they're called is based here in Louisville.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that? Or the National Kickball League.
I thought it was the association.
Something here in Louisville. Yeah, I promise you.
Could be wrong.
They're so pissed at me right now because they follow us and they send me things, and then I screwed up their name. I'm sorry, group and the kickball folks. It is National Kickball Association. There it is. NKA, the National Kickball Association. And I think they're headquartered right here in Louisville, I think.
How about that?
Maybe, as you used to say when you were little, maybe I'm just saying that. Maybe I'm making that up, but I don't think so. I think they're based right here. So that'd be great. Kickball's a great game, but you don't need anything.
Right, and see, they don't play it in Croatia because, see, they're playing some baseball, but a lot of the kids don't understand baseball yet.
Yeah.
So if you don't understand baseball,
not going to stand kickball.
So this kind of be a double-edged thing there. So we're excited about that. Next year in June, we're taking football. Coaches and referees to do coaching clinics and players. There's almost 100 American-style football teams in Eastern Europe.
Really?
So we're going to go to Croatia, Bosnia, and a couple other Balkan countries.
So you're starting to get in that part of the world now a little more.
Yes, kind of a little different new area for us. So,
well, what about Belize?
We haven't left Belize. We keep that's a
that now. You tell me, what are they? Belize is a tiny, tiny little country.
Yes,
they don't have a lot of golf courses. I think they've only got like two golf courses in the whole country, which would be a perfect game for them to learn to play because it's warm all year round. But there's other things that you would tell me. What they softball's big down there? Is that what
fast pitch?
They love fast pitch softball. Right?
We've taken a couple down there. We've helped them get baseball started back down there, and so that's going. We took last year the head double-A coach for the Cubs, Jimmy Gonzalez, is in Knoxville, went down and
nice.
Had some clinics. We've had some – there's some other groups that have gone in to help with baseball. And so, yeah, baseball's growing. And fast-pitch softball is huge among them.
They play volleyball down there, too, don't
volleyball,
they?
Volleyball, yes. We had a great time with volleyball.
You know, what's so interesting, fun. Have you ever gone to a place – I'm not saying you have, but, you know, like a kind of a Field of Dreams thing where you're walking and, you know, it's not really – it's not a very, rich area. It's not a particularly prosperous area. And then all of a sudden they have an athletic facility and you go, whoa, how'd they get this? Have you ever stumbled on one of those? Like, well, the thing in Belize, you just told me, I haven't seen it yet. The new basketball facility. So it's really nice, right?
Yes, we've been in some places like when we were in China, and of course, you know, it's funny they talk about their small towns and their small villages only have 650,000 people, and so going to a place and it's like it's kind of an older looking town, and you go and all of a sudden this arena, oh my word,
really?
Oh, absolutely gorgeous! They have some gorgeous arenas in China.
Well, their basketball, especially since Yao helped tremendously.
Grown. We've watched it grow from just where it was the provincial teams was their best. And now they have the two level of pro teams. So, yeah, we've just enjoyed that.
Well, we went to Belize. There was a church there that you'd kind of connected with, I remember. Have you done that everywhere, or is it just in certain places? Like, that was a very nice little church. It was very pretty.
We try to touch base with churches that where it's, yeah, we do all the places.
Because that was really one of the nice things about Belize.
Yes, and that's one of the things we love. We just tried. Our biggest thing is we just want to see people's lives be changed.
Yeah, well,
and
you're doing it.
Need her thanks. So that's what we're trying to do.
Well, people can help us a week from this Friday. We'll give you more details as we get closer. Robbie will be there with us with Mike Pratt on Fast Break Friday. And Robbie, thanks so much for being here. We appreciate
it. My privilege.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back here on the V Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Except not just yet, we won't, because I want to tell you about our friends at Expert Sleep Medicine, because they are the ones that have got Nick on a CPAP machine that he is really, really taken to. It, you know, if you have sleep apnea, 80% of the time it goes undiagnosed. And when it goes undiagnosed, you run the risk of heart attack, stroke, all sorts of bad things. And they've just diagnosed me with some issues as well. So working on incorporating my machine as well. Mike Pratt swears by his. Right now, I'm still at the stage where I'm kind of swearing at mine more than by it. But I'm gonna learn. I'm gonna learn. They tell me that if you work through it, it's gonna make your life a whole lot better and more
it's like
rested.
A dragon. You have to learn to trust one another.
Mike says when he says, if he has to sleep without it, he wakes up the next day and he doesn't feel remotely as good. He said it has made a major difference.
It does help.
So there you go. So check them out. Expert Sleep Medicine, 4 locations. They're great people. And it's not just for apnea, by the way. They have other things that they can help you with. They've got a whole bunch of things that will help you get a more restful and meaningful sleep.
They're really nice, too. I'm always struck by that. And talk about all your future options. If you don't want to use the CPAP for a while, they said try the CPAP for this, and then maybe we can try a different mask, or, you know, there's a dental implant, or all kinds of goodies.
Can I do it with a Spider-Man mask, maybe?
I'd be okay with that. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Do you have the Bane mask right now? Are you rocking the... Do you have the full...
No, I have the thing that looks like when you... Because when I was in the hospital, I actually kind of... It's terrible to say. I didn't mind it. That oxygen thing, that was pretty cool. That the two little things that just go under your nose there.
They upgraded you all the way to the...
Upgraded me? Yeah. That's like flyer miles.
That's like step three, man. That's... I mean, that's... I'm just saying. That's not... You're not messing with, the remedial mask that I am, because like a toddler, I kick mine off all over the time. I'm like, yeah, wake up and it's on the cat.
Yes. Anyway, check them out. They'll help you get a better night's sleep and a healthier night's sleep at Expert Sleep Medicine. Texter says, hey, Bob, as a Bosnian that lives right here in Louisville, I'm really happy to hear about all the great stuff that Robbie and his guys are doing. By the way, Croatia has some of the most beautiful beaches in the world. Do you get to see any of those when you're over there or not?
They tell me we're going to. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I'll see one. We are going to get to go where they filmed Game of Thrones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I guess got to watch the movie and see what it's about.
Is that in
Croatia?
They make that in Croatia? Do you know that, Nick? Are you a Thronian? I don't watch Game of Thrones.
I did not know they made it in Croatia, but Robbie told me during the commercial break, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yankees have left the building again. Didi Gregorius, third home run of the game. Yankees lead 7-3 in the... That's not Didi Gregorius. Who is that? That's not Didi Gregorius. Thought it was. They got so many guys. I don't even know who these guys are. Who the hell is that guy? That's not Cameron, is it? Is that Cameron Maybin? Is that the Mayman? He's having... Cameron Maybin, Marcus's cousin, is having the best year of his career, and he was literally days away from saying, well, you know what, I gotta start thinking about what I'm gonna do next. He was in our studio about 2 months ago. He was playing AAA, and he was like, well, maybe it's time to start thinking about what's going on in the next phase of my life. And the Yankees picked him up, and he is batting I got to go find his box score. He's batting well over 300. He said the batting coach has changed his approach, which is really cool. Goes to show, even at that level, whether that's him or not who hit the home run, I can't really tell. I didn't see them bat. I just saw them in the dugout all hugging each other. So I gathered it was a home run. There's nobody on base. Let me see if I can find out who this is. But that's so cool that even at that level, you get coaching, it makes a difference. So even at that level, they definitely make a difference in how effective the players are. By the way, the NCAA rescinded the Rich Paul rule. Did you see that? Under public pressure, you don't have to be a college graduate anymore to be an agent, which was a very, very odd rule, to say the least. Let me see who hit that home run. Come on, load.
I forgot who it was. I think it was Gary Parrish, who was one of the original people who tweeted that news. Was. But somebody tweeted, it took 6 days for the NCAA to come up with a rule, get criticized for it, respond to said criticism, and then immediately rescind the rule. Took less than a week.
Well, because they were getting absolutely skewered. That was Cameron Maybin's 8th home run of the season in the 6th inning, and it just puts the Yankees up 7-3. He's batting .319 since he joined the Yankees. He's got 8 home runs. And how many RBIs? He's driven in some runs, too. 24 RBIs. Just a wonderful story for Maybin. 404-foot home run to left center field. He got I watched where the ball landed on the replay. He got a pretty good piece there. So good for him. All right. I think it's time for us to get out of here. So that's what we're going to do. So now it has a new name. Andy's show has a new name now.
The Take.
The Take.
I like it.
So that's coming up after our program. It's The Take. So you've got the Diener Show. You've got the Midday, which, by the way, we need to talk to Locke. He needs to change. Well, it's his show now. It's not the Midday Rush anymore. The Midday Rush is
was
him.
Was both of them. Yes.
Yeah, so now it should be something else. It should be, you know, something with Locke in the name. Bagels and Locke. So the Loch Ness Monster. Or
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah, something like
that. That's a good Guy Ritchie movie.
Then the V Show, which would be our little humble show. And then The Take. We could change our name to the show to The Give. Then we'd have The Give and Take.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, that's not bad.
So, and then that wraps it up for us. So, all right. So, unless you know something I don't, we'll be back at it with you tomorrow. Thanks for being with us.
We're gonna play the
playout music. Here comes.
Give a shout out to Yaya before we
to
go.
Yaya.
One more shout out to Yaya.
Milantoni provided lunch today. Always delicious. Always great. They have lunch specials are $5.99. It's just all homemade recipes, and they're great people. Check them out at Milantoni's and tell them we sent you. Now I'm leaving. Don't try and talk me out of it. The Take is next. ESPN 680 105.7.